It is so refreshing, my friends, to consider the life of John Paul II today amidst the outrage in the church presently because of certain statements attributed to the Pope and rendered in a documentary that just came out, I think, yesterday. I am not surprised at the comments of Pope Francis. He has been very sympathetic to homosexuality from the beginning and has always described his attitude as pastoral. It is troubling to so many people that if the Pope teaches that something is deviant behavior in the church has always said it was intrinsically evil, why do you now want to accord it any kind of legal status? How do you say that homosexual acts are wrong? And then you say we should give it legal status in society. Isn't that ambiguous? When you give it legal status, how are you going to stop them from acting out homosexually? So very, very confusing. But this is not the first time Pope Francis has made statements or even in an officially declared document, just like in 2016. At the end of the Synod and the Family, the document that came out, Amoris Laetitia, clearly suggested that people in adultery who are living in irregular unions, we would call that theologically, can be admitted in some cases to the sacrament of the Eucharist. And the Pope has been asked again and again, he was asked by four cardinals to explain what he means, in which circumstances. There's never been a document to explain that statement up until now. It was in that document that the Pope first mentioned that homosexual unions cannot be placed at the same level with a sacramental marriage. That was a major shift. It should not even be called a union. You cannot pair two bulls together. There will be no beef anymore. Never in the church has it been said to be okay. In fact, the statement of the Pope currently goes against what the Holy Office has clearly taught in the time of John Paul II and Pope Benedict, that we cannot advocate for a legal status for homosexuality at all. So there's been so many shifts like that. I don't want you to be upset. Maybe you should be rightfully so. I am not. These are very troubling times, my friends. And the deciding factor of where you stand in anything, even in the church, is Christ. The recent letter of the Archbishop has told us that even among ministers, the devil can function. He can also function in the Pope. He can be tempted. Something can be wrong, you know. Open your eyes and learn. Because sometimes just to be something in name does not mean to be that in fact. During the Synod in the Family, I was a student still in Rome at the time. I remember the pressure put upon the church, upon bishops, by the United Nations. We were students. We were watching what was happening. There was so much pressure from the LGBT to do something about homosexuality. All these issues were coming out in the lineamenta, the working document for the Synod and the Family. There were bishops taken for meals in fancy restaurants, and people are trying to lobby them because I was also with a Catholic pro-life group. And we saw all this happening, so we were watching for the document to see what shift will result from the Synod. And those two elements were very troubling. Now, Pope John Paul II had taught in the document, Veritatis Splendor, that adultery is intrinsically evil, just like abortion. Intrinsically means you cannot justify it in any situation. How then does Pope Francis suggest that in some situations it can be justified? So most of the church in Germany, people who are living in adultery are receiving communion now because the Pope has said it. Germany took it and ran with it. So there is a rift in the church. It is allowed by Christ for the purpose of sifting the wheat from the weeds. It is allowed. You must bear the right kind of fruit. You must not be afraid. You must not be outraged. The times that we live in are really perilous times. You need to open your eyes and you need to truly believe what you believe. The deciding factor is Christ. Who is for Christ or who is against him? And you have to ask yourself that question in any given situation. The poison in society today affects the church too. The church lives in society where products of the same environment, so we are going to be influenced. So if we keep our eyes focused on Christ, then we're fine. If we allow ourselves to be swayed by the deception that is going on, which is allowed, and you have yourself to blame. In the Catholic Church, two things must agree. This is how it works. Sound doctrine, or we call it orthodoxy, and sound practice, orthopraxis. You cannot mess with one without messing with the other. Doctrine is in fact the principle that guides everything. But we live doctrine out day to day in the way we act. So if you suggest that the action should be pastorally adjusted to accommodate some people, you are messing with the doctrine indirectly. Eventually, you're eroding the very basis or foundation of doctrine. Doctrine is ultimately a person, Jesus Christ. Doctrine is just Jesus Christ represented in formulas and words. This is an erosion of the very heart of the church. And it needs to worry us, but there is hope. You know, that documentary should not be published if the Pope did not consent to it. And many bishops are calling for an explanation, which I don't expect that we will get. The four cardinals that expressed dubia, doubt over Amoris Laetitia, did not get any response from the Holy Father. I am aware of many things I cannot tell you in the context of a homily, so I don't keep you here forever. We have an hour of reparation. But homosexuality is a big problem in the church, big problem among priests. Sometimes I think it is the reason for the absence of zeal today, for the lackadaisical attitude of so many priests, the absence of fire, because it is horrible. I am not blaming anybody or sending anybody to hell, but it is a scourge. It is not natural. We can justify it all we want. I have spoken to so many people affected by it, and they tell me this is not normal. A homosexual in one lifetime has an average of 500 partners in one lifetime. Even what they call a marriage is open. You can be married to one person for health reasons or taxes, and then you go out tonight, end up with 10 other people. That is the way it is. The average lifespan of a homosexual is 10 years shorter than an average alcoholic. I'm giving you facts that will not be exposed to you. How can this be right? The health problems that they have and surgeries that are carried out, if I begin to give you statistics, you will be very, very surprised. But these things are not said. Doctors cannot tell you. But as a preacher, I can tell you. So it cannot, even though people clamor for equality and we call for legality and stuff like that, but we must look at the fact. We must look at the thing itself, not just what we think or what we feel. But this is the truth. I am very sorry for anyone oriented in that way. I am very sorry, and I work for their redemption. But the fact is the fact. I don't make the facts. I must simply be faithful to the facts. Now, these are the things before us. Even though it affects about 4% of the population, they're very powerful and very wealthy, they can throw their weight around. So the sexual revolution affecting the world has affected the church too. We're suffering from that. We must become conscious and aware of it. So sound doctrine and sound practice must always go together. If I preach beautifully to you and I don't live it, it doesn't make any sense. The Word was with God, then the Word became flesh. So the idea must take flesh in good actions, in the way we live. So we cannot pastorally take care of something when in doctrine it is not right. It is ambiguous. That is the reason for the outrage today. There is no issue we're dealing with today that was not dealt with by John Paul II. Go and read all the encyclicals he wrote. He covered every subject. The family in Familiaris Consortio, morality in Veritatis et Splendor, the position of Christ in Redemptor Hominis. He covered all the bases. There was no need for a new synod on the family unless there was pressure to change something. We have not finished implementing familiaris consortio. What is the new teaching in Amoris Laetitia? Now, you cannot assess the document yourself, but being a scholar, I can tell you that there was nothing new about the family to be taught. Right? We felt that there was pressure for some things to be changed. I was very surprised that homosexual unions were not approved, but the Pope tacitly mentioned it. So we must be aware of these things, but we must not be afraid, my friends. The shining example of John Paul is right before us. Truth is always true. The times in which we live are really tough, but they demand the very best in us, my friends. You know, John Paul II was raised in communist Poland, and he struggled through seminary and went underneath the radar. The seminary was in the bishop's house. But he went through all those years, became a priest, and became a professor, became a bishop, went to the Second Vatican Council with his bishop to assist his bishop, along with Pope Benedict. They must have known themselves right from then, closely. He had to be patient, and he waited for the right time. He was a papal preacher. He used to preach to the papal household. And then he was elected after the surprise of the death of Pope John Paul I. Was in office for 31 days only. I don't know how the Holy Fathers of the Church felt to be convened again to come to a conclave. And the confusion of that is when John Paul II, Karol Wojtyła, was elected, to the surprise of the world, the first non-Italian pope in a long time. But there was a charisma about him. He was a lover of the Blessed Mother. He was also a scholar, but he was also a pastor. I think in history, he's the most traveled pope around the world. He spoke about the family. He paid attention to young people. He had the World Youth Day almost every other year, and so many were inspired to become priests. Most young men at that time wanted to be like John Paul II, the effect of just one priest, one devoted priest, one Marian priest. He gave the church the luminous mysteries, and in his own life, he was tested, he was shot, trusted the Blessed Mother. He went to Fatima to thank her for sparing his life. That did not slow him down. And he is single-handedly perhaps responsible for the collapse of communism in Poland. The people are so thankful and grateful to one man, one priest, to one pope. So my friends, just thinking about his life challenges all of us. Something you need to do for these times. Don't just be an unconcerned bystander. I am going to do my part. I know what the truth is. If the Holy Father shifts, I'm going to say, Holy Father, this is not right. If anybody thinks you want to shoot me, that's fine. But if it is not right, it is not right. There's so many bishops that have written today, and just the very idea that some bishops are questioning the Holy Father. Can you explain this? There should be no ambiguity regarding statements that the Holy Father makes, knowingly or unknowingly. There should be no confusion. There should be no doubt. There should be no shadow of prevarication or equivocation regarding doctrine. No. So much depends upon it. And that just tells you that the division that we have politically is also in the church. Open your eyes and be careful. What did Jesus tell us in the gospel? Do you think I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two, and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against a daughter, and a daughter against a mother, and so on. And so forth. Those words are fulfilled today. The deciding factor, my friends, is Jesus Christ. Are you for him or against him? In every choice you make, it will come down to that basic question. Are you for Christ or against Christ? Everybody will have to answer that before the Master. The Pope will have to do that. I will have to do that too. You will have to do that. Make sure, my friends, that there is no confusion in your mind, that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus must be your way through these difficult days. Hold on to him with everything you have. Nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. God love you. Let us pray.